Let me read before we pray from Jude, the first four verses. May I ask that we stand up for it? Jude, from verse 1 to 4. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Maybe so far, let us pray. Heavenly Father, from the bottom of our hearts we thank you for the great privilege that the Holy Scripture applies for us today, as back then for our brothers and sisters in the beginning. We have been pardoned with the same grace. We have been loved with the same love. We are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Beloved Lord, you have only one church, the church of the firstborn, the chosen multitude, the divine seed. You plead us and admonish us to contend for the faith, just to fight for it, to stand in for it, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Let me do it, O Lord, and all of us, in a worthy way, Lord, this living faith in the living God has become precious to us. We ask you, faithful Lord, be today present, really present. We ask you for it. Please overlook all our weaknesses, all shortcomings, all infirmities. Forgive us fully. Do not be angry with any of us. Be merciful to us and bless us. We believe in the power of your blood, in the power of your word, in the power of your spirit. Be now in a mighty way at work. To you, the living God, we commit ourselves. Please give grace to speak and grace to hear. Faithful God, you know that I don't know what to say, but you know it. You give the words of life, of admonition, of comfort. We thank you for it with all our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have looked for a quotation of Brother Branham from the sermon, The Token, and then we go into the Word, and maybe then I read from another sermon. Here Brother Branham says, we see the signs of the end time are here. If you don't believe me, believe the signs, believe the word, for they speak of what I am telling you. If I ain't telling you the truth, they would never speak back. God will never speak to a lie. God speaks to truth. And these words are testifying that I am telling you the truth. They are the one that testifies of the message that I'm preaching. And now listen what he adds to this. Not only the angel down there on the river that day that said, your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. But the works itself, do you hear? Not only because the angel said it, but because God has confirmed the divine sending. God really confirmed it. And therefore he says, if you can't believe that the angel told the truth, believe the works. For the Bible said, these things will happen at the end time. We believe both. We believe everything. I believe with all my heart that God has his angels and they are ministering spirits sent out for the sake of those who shall inherit salvation. If you like, I read it to you so that you know that it's written like this. And that's how actually the New Testament began. And in this way it will also end. It is written in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Whoever has read the beginning of the New Testament, he knows the angel Gabriel came to Zacharias. He came to Mary when the announcement was given, behold, to you is born today Christ the Lord in the city of David. It was not only one angel, but the heavenly host sang and praised God, and one angel gave the announcement, behold, to you is born today the Savior. God remains the same. I believe 100% without any doubt that William Branham, as a man with 7 school years, who could not even speak properly English, who had a complex from his birth, that he, by himself, could have carried out the ministry. It was a divine call, a divine sending. We believe in it with all our hearts. Also that, as he was told, and I'm always glad about it, when we have this formulation before us, thy message, not you, thy message will forerun the second coming of Christ. I'm particularly pleased about that. God takes the messengers, but He leaves us the message. He took the prophets, but He left us the word of prophecy. He took the apostles, but He left unto us the word and the doctrine of the apostles. God knows exactly what He does. In any case, since the days of Jesus Christ, it did not happen what happened in our generation through the ministry of Brother Branham by His grace. And this was, as He said Himself, also a confirmation that He not only makes the claim to have been sent from God, but that He really was a man sent from God with the message of God for the people of God in this time. This is what distinguishes Him from all evangelists and so-called men of God in this time. Not one of them knows of a day or an hour of such a divine calling and sending like Brother Branham received it from the Lord. And we can freely say we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but the word of prophecy that God has put upon the lampstand and which shines brightly in darkness. Therefore, Peter writes, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Let us now go into our word observation, beginning with a word that we read as the word of introduction. In particular, it is always about, as also the apostle says here, a servant of Jesus Christ. A servant does what his Lord commands him. As the eyes of a maid look upon the hand of a mistress to receive command and then to do what she was told, so the servants of God look upon their Lord, who gives the commands to know what shall be done. I have opened a corresponding page in the sermon of Brother Branham, Desperation. And here he says on page 16, but first you have to come into a state of desperation. Then God is going to listen to you. But if you are just slothful, you don't care whether He does it or not. You say you are serious, but it takes desperation to do it. I believe that the reason we don't have desperation is because it's a lack of love. I believe that the love of God causes desperation. If God is in you, the token inside of you, and you see the conditions of times and people wading in sin the way they are, it will throw you into desperation. I believe it will. We, as the Church of the Living God, must really come into these birth pains. that it becomes an inner desperation to us, be it the own condition, be it the condition of the church, be it that we see with open eyes that the end of all things is at hand. Mankind is misled in every way. I thought about it when, for instance, now the 41st President of the United States took his oath before the highest federal judge. All the world saw it. I not, but all the world. I don't watch TV. I have no time. But I read it, and I've seen the picture. The whole world watched it, how Mrs. Bush holds a Bible and how he lays his hand on the Bible. What they all didn't know is that four chosen men of the Freemason Lodge from New York brought this Bible especially for this occasion to Washington, and that this Bible had the square and compass on it. This they all didn't know. Or did you know it? The whole world is being deceived in a most pious way, without understanding what is going on in these days. We may thank God with all our hearts that He has opened our eyes. And when one then even reads on this Bible, already George Washington gave his oath, then one should add here that George Washington became the first Grand Master of the Grand Lodge in New York in the year 1700 so and so. You can read it in the statistics. Why do I mention this? Especially because that the whole world, in the name of Christendom, and if possible with a Bible, and even with the glory hallelujah, and with the whole shebang, with trumpets and cymbals, is being misled. And we get more and more grateful for the revelation which God has given us by His grace in this generation. And therefore, we are also not ashamed to confess that we believe that Brother Branham was a man sent from God, not as other men who made and called themselves prophets and brought into existence some religion or denomination, but a word prophet who did not bring a new religion or denomination into existence, but who showed us the old divine direction, namely back to the Word, back to God, back to the message of the hour. Are you grateful for it and glad? Our God does great things on us and on many others. Here in Jude, we have read that we should contend for the faith that is once for all delivered unto the saints. What kind of faith is this? And how does it come about? Today everyone says he believes. And whoever would like to read in James, he can do it, because there it is written that even the devil believes and trembles. If one hears the man in the Vatican speak, then he says, "I speak to the believers." If one hears Khomeini speak, then he speaks to the believers. Whoever speaks, speaks to those who believe him. That's how it looks like, and that's how it is. But there are people who have a living faith in the living God. And why do they have it? Because the living God spoke to them. Because he spoke to them. Because he called them. Because he has chosen them. And this is the seed of Abraham. Just as the Lord spoke to Abraham, and Abraham believed him and left everything what could hinder him and stop him to obey the divine call, so it is also with us. Leave thy father's house and thy homeland and everything and follow me. He did it. Living faith is only in them to whom the living God spoke and called them personally. Our Lord says, follow me. Whoever does not leave everything cannot be my disciple. We have to take our cross upon ourselves. Believe as the scripture says, faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. Here I would like to pass on a quote from Brother Branham from memory. He said, faith is the lifeline, the supply that life force and life blood flows to us from God. Faith in the presence of the living God. And I think also in this point, we may believe as the scripture says. Our Lord says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. What happened? There where God called people, he made a covenant with them. He gave them promises. And in these promises, their faith was anchored. The faith of the true believers is not here or there. It is grounded. It is anchored in the promises of the Word of God. And this includes that we with all our hearts may believe the promises for this time. And this is the point which indeed distinguishes us from all the others. I'm not giving away any secrets here, and I probably don't say anything new, but so much should be known that there are two large Pentecostal movements and then many, many others. The one is the Trinity movement and the other the Oneness movement, who all baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, who believe in the one God, and yet fight strongly Brother Branham and the message that he brought, and accuse him of many things, especially about the revelation of the fall in the Garden of Eden and some other things. One of the main persons of these people told me into my face, I would not have thought Branham capable of such tastelessness. These people don't even know what a prophet is. A prophet is a revealer of the will and of the mysteries of God. A prophet is not a brooder, not a fantast. A prophet is a seer. A prophet is a man of God to whom the word of the Lord comes. And when it comes, then it comes. And then it's right. We can rely on it. I'm just saying this because we are indeed different from all denominations, also from those who are closest to us. And as I just said, who have a lot in common with us. But then we hear from the mouth of the man sent from God over and again, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, not by some words, one word here, one word there, by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And when you speak to such people about the promise that God wanted to send the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord, yes, then they put both hands together over their heads, and one hears only the words, "Leave me alone, this I don't believe." Here we are told to contend for the faith that was delivered to whom? To the critics, to the scribes who think to know it better, to the saints, to those set apart by God, who were called out from the world, who are born of God, who are begotten by the Spirit, who got a connection to God and to God's Word. Most certainly, these things that mean nothing to others have become great and precious to us. I have to say it this way. I may say it. To me, exactly these things which others reject, but which are ordained for our time, they have become most precious to me. And I thank my God that we not only have the term full gospel, but that we have the full gospel indeed, namely everything what belongs to it must and may be proclaimed. Prophets, men of God, had to go the way God led them. You can find the examples in the Old Testament. Every man of God had to leave everything after his calling and go his way with God. The people of Israel, after its exodus and calling out, they had to go the way of God. We, as the people of God, have no choice. There's only one way left for us, and that is the way of God. And the way of God is to believe today, as the scripture says. Jesus told the scribes at that time, "You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." The Lord has written down the signs of the times in His Word. Why? So that we may know the times in which we live. I have said it here before. When I was faced with a question of which sermon should be translated first, after Brother Branham's passing in May 1966, I was inwardly moved and the sermon was before my eyes, recognize the day and the message. What good are hundreds of sermons if we have not recognized the day and the message? Just be honest. Doesn't everybody read the scriptures if they profess to be Christians? Did not Bultmann read and teach the scriptures? Did not Barth read and teach the scriptures? Have we not had theologians who have so undermined the scriptures in the pulpit that the people have been deprived of their trust in the scriptures and their faith in God? May it be complained to God. The faith was not destroyed by Marx and Engels. It was destroyed by people from the platform, from the pulpit, because they put doubts into the word and into the sermon. Our God is credible, and His word is the truth, the pure truth. When the Holy Scripture says, Moses struck the rock and water gushed out, then I believe it with all my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if there are people who then say, yes, you have to be naive to believe something like that, then I simply have to say, these people do not know God as Creator. Whoever knows God as Creator and thinks of the infinite universe, he looks at such point with benevolence and says, Lord, it was a small thing for you to do this. Is that right? Our God doesn't have to pull up his sleeves and then somehow eat first properly to be able to do something. Our God speaks a word, and it happens. He commands, and it is here. That is the faith in the presence of God, the living faith among those who have received new life from God. People who are not born again have in their nature nothing in common with God. Only when we are born of God and have become partakers of the divine nature, can we be of one spirit with Him and then also agree with Him by His grace. I would like to read some scriptures from the book of Acts, chapter 20, the well-known verse that we have heard often enough, when Paul could say at that time, and Luke wrote it down, Acts 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That is our task in these days. I have already said it. It is part of the full gospel. And it is precisely the things that others scoff at and bypass that mark us out as being on God's side and contending for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. In Acts 26, Paul, or rather Luke, who is writing his report here, he wrote something wonderful from verse 16. Acts 26, from verse 16 to 18. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Here it is not only written of faith, here the Lord says, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Faith needs a point of reference, and that reference point is Jesus Christ. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And here it is written, who have been sanctified through faith in me. Jesus said, I sanctify myself for them, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Sanctification in the Word is through faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh. In him God summed up all that prophets had proclaimed beforehand. He was the sum of it all. He was the answer. So, not just faith in general, blurred, but faith grounded in Christ, anchored in him, coming out of him. Of course, faith comes from preaching. And from what does the preaching come? The preaching comes from the Word of God. And from what did the Word of God come? From the mouth of God. And then it is true that he who hears you hears me. When do people hear God? When the preacher only passes on what God has said, not expressing his opinion about it, but passes on what God has said. Whoever comes to faith in this way also comes to rest in God. I will read it to you from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 28. Isaiah, chapter 28, two verses, first verse 12, and then I read verse 16. To whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. And those who do not hear cannot come to the faith. Faith cometh by hearing. He who truly hears what God says to us through his word, he comes to rest in God. Now I read verse 16 from Isaiah 28. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be put to shame. Did we hear that? He that believeth shall not be put to shame. In whom will people be ashamed? in Jesus Christ. They stumble, they fall. I don't want to mention this here, but I read a book recently, just for information, where a man so denigrated the New Testament and our Lord that it hurts deeply. And in the end, I had to say how bad it is when unauthorized people who have no relationship with God take certain scriptures of the Bible and then make such a disaster out of it. Faith. Faith cometh by hearing. For example, when the Lord says, some who stand here will not die until the Lord has come in his kingdom. The critics take that and 60 or 70 other scriptures, and then they go off with it. And Brother Branham got it revealed by the Holy Spirit what was meant by that, namely, when John was allowed to see the Lord in his glory on the Isle of Patmos, as he will be in his kingdom. And he says, here the scripture was fulfilled. But the unbelievers, they don't understand. They take something here and something there, and they don't know what they are doing. We believe, even then, if Paul wrote certain things in the present tense, he had to do it in this way. I can even prove that in the Holy Scripture, things were not only written in the present tense, but in the past tense. Things that were hundreds of years away were written in the past tense. Best example, Psalms 22, Isaiah 53, all in the past tense. They have pierced my feet and my hands. All in the past tense. He was smitten for our sin, stricken for our guilt. The chastisement was laid on him for our peace, and by his stripes we were healed. Past tense. And it was still long in the future. Yes, who do you think God is? What does God have to do with the past or the future? He is eternally present. He was, is, and will be. He is not who I was or who I will be. He is the I Am. And he can pronounce presently what is still in the far future. John saw a new heaven and a new earth on the Isle of Patmos. He already saw all the things that were still in the far future. Oh, how glorious is God! How glorious his word to those who have found access to God and access to his word. I could refute every point that such a person makes, but that would not help anyone. Those who cannot believe, cannot believe. And let us be thankful that we may belong to those who can believe as the scripture says. Amen. Who can believe from the heart as the scripture says. That is the secret. For that is the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Also this, Brother Brenner mentions, when the prophet Isaiah had to prophesy, a virgin shall conceive, and so forth. And the virgin says, how shall this be? I know of no man. Last week, I hang up the phone because an old lady who has already stepped back a bit, she said something quite clumsy. I just had to call in the phone, I will not allow my Lord to be denigrated. For me, our Lord Jesus is the Savior. He is virgin born, conceived by the Holy Spirit. In his body, sin and death had no right, but he had to come into this flesh in order to be able to redeem us out of this flesh, to take away the power of death and bring immortal life to light. But then when I'm asked at the end of the line if I can really believe that, then it is a bit too much. I believe with all my heart, as the scripture says. I don't know, but I just can't help it. I love my Lord, and whoever hurts him hurts me. I cannot help it. And whoever brings him into disgrace, I'm affected. I'm simply affected. Do we all love the Lord so wholeheartedly? What afflicts him afflicts us. And we may also say today, what afflicts us, it affects him too, doesn't it? We are joined with him, united, have become one. God gives prophetic revelation. And I just read in Proverbs, they don't just have worldly wisdom or rules about how to behave, although one should recommend all people to read Proverbs for that reason as well. But there are also many other things written. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no prophetic revelation, not prophetic interpretation, prophetic revelation. Also about this, we spoke and wrote. There have been ages, especially since the Reformation, where people have received much knowledge. But what God has given through revelation is simply quite different. To not hurt these people, after all, they lived in a different time. Let us refer to 1 Corinthians 13. Our prophesying is patchwork. Our knowledge is patchwork. But when the perfect has come, then the patchwork will cease. And I dare to say, the perfect revelation of Jesus Christ, the perfect revelation of the Word of God, the perfect revelation of His eternal plan of salvation has been proclaimed to us by His grace. And like Paul, Brother Branham could say, I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God. When there is no prophetic revelation, then the people become unbridled. They all go like horses when the reins slip. I know this very well. I have also dealt with horses. I woke up once when I had to take my mother to the station. It was very early. And you know, when you are young, you don't like to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And on the way back, you know where I woke up? When the wagon stopped at the gatepost. The reins had slipped out of my hand, but the horses knew the way. When reins slip out of your hand, then the horses or everything goes where it wants to go. Here God's word tells us, Where there is no prophetic revelation, the people become unbridled, not the horses. The ox knows his master's manger, and the donkey knows where he belongs. The swallow knows its nest, and the migrant birds when to fly. But my people have not known me. And the Lord says, me, the fountain of living waters, they have forsaken and have built themselves cisterns full of holes for it. The animals usually know their way, but the people, even believers, are like sheep. A sheep does not find its way. And that's why we need the Good Shepherd, who always leads and guides us, who goes ahead of us. Do not think we can go alone, not one step. So we sing it in a song. What does Paul write to the Corinthians? When I come to you, I will also bring something with me, namely words of revelation and instruction and so forth. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? Everything belongs to it. Words of revelation. Yes, how can we bring words of revelation? By proclaiming and sharing the revealed word. I dare to say that too. And I don't hope anyone will think it is personal. Personally, I think, like what Ter Stegen or one of the hymn writers sang, our mind is wrapped in darkness, where not your Spirit's hand fills us with bright light. But this I dare to say, when we hear the word revealed by God through the Holy Spirit, and the same Holy Spirit is present, and the anointing rests upon us, then we will see what prophets saw, understand as they understood, through the same Holy Spirit. Then one will not have to teach the other, and will not even try. I would also like to make this comment today. I sometimes make observations, thank God, not in this place, and therefore no one needs to feel personally addressed. But I do make my observations, and when I see a brother who wants to make everything clear to the other with so many gestures that he understands, then I quietly have the thought, this brother has not yet understood it himself. The thought comes to me, this brother has not yet understood it himself. Not one brother will teach the other. They will all be taught by God. And then we will have the same teaching and the same revelation. One more word from Timothy, which has also become great to me in this context. You all know, Paul was simply an apostle, a shepherd, a teacher, a prophet, a pastor, as he is written in the book of God. And it says here in 2 Timothy, in chapter 2, writing to his co-worker, in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Other translation, teaching the message accurately. I mean, also in this respect, we may say it to the glory of God. Since the whole counsel of God has been so wonderfully revealed, we can divide the word of God rightly. What is for Israel is for Israel. What is for the church is for the church. What is for the bride is for the bride. Everything in the right context, at the right time. So that, as we said, instruction about everything and indeed everyone can be given in the same way. Let us sum it up. Everyone who believes in God from the heart, really, I don't mean faith as a professional faith. I don't mean the word belief, which is often used every day in all our languages. I believe there will be good weather. I believe the sun will shine. I believe this, I believe that. This I don't mean now. I now mean the word faith, which connects us with God. I mean now the faith that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that all the prophets had. The faith that the Holy Scripture speaks of which our Lord says in John 7, verse 38, He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, from his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This faith, through a relationship or from a relationship that God has established with us, through the proclamation that has established connection with Him. This faith, according to the Scripture, delivered to the saints once for all, is connected and anchored to every word of God. For all the promises of God, the yes and the amen has been given in Christ. Therefore, the biblical faith is not a matter of confession of any religious denomination, but of those born of God who have received the connection with God. How many of you can say amen in a moment when I ask the question, have you received the living faith in the living God, in the living Word, in general, all together, through the preaching of the Word? Then say amen. I believe that. I'm convinced of it. It cannot be otherwise. And he who believes will not be put to shame. Sometimes God tests us until it is almost impossible. How often may you and I have said, Lord, I can't go on. I can't do it anymore. It is too much. And suddenly it went on anyway. Why? Because it is not we who hold the Lord. He holds us. And he says, no one will pluck them out from my hand. The Father who gave them to me will keep them, and so forth. In this summary, or to this summary, it also belongs that the promises for our time are taken into account. Just as there was a messenger and a message then, before the first coming of Christ, so it is now. God has taken the messenger. He has left us the message. May what this brother has written here from Syria come to pass, that the hour may strike when the everlasting gospel shall be proclaimed in all the earth before the Lord comes, to some for salvation, to the others for a witness. But they shall know that God had a prophet in our generation, and they should know that in this prophetic age in which we live, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes. The day is coming, the hour is coming, when the difference will be manifested between those who have believed half or three quarter and those who have believed fully as the scripture has said. Today, we are the fools to the masses. In that day, they will be fools, and we will enter into the joy of the Lord. Let us remain faithful unto death. Some people have already threatened me, especially from Poland, because I do not spare the papacy in the brochure The Antichrist. A very powerful letter came, but don't ask for sunshine. And how happy I am that God has given me also earthly a backbone, not only to write, but to stand up for it, not only to proclaim the truth, but also, if necessary, to die for it, so that many others can live. It would be very easy for me to help out with a little diplomacy here and there. That's not what I'm here for. Men of God are not diplomats. They are ambassadors of God in Christ's stead. And they have to proclaim the truth. And the day is coming when many will rejoice that we have proclaimed the divine truth in these evil times. And I conclude with a glorious word that Jesus, my Savior, said, "He who follows me will not remain in darkness, but will have the light of life." He will know the truth, and the truth will set him free. We may be a pardoned people, a free people of God. Forgiveness of sins received through the precious blood of the Lamb, taught by God through His precious and holy word. We are contending for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints to the end. And then we shall be crowned together. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us stand up. Great God, Creator of heaven and earth, in your name, before your face, we are gathered here today. You are the ever-present. You are the I Am who spoke to Abraham, who sent Moses, and who said, "It is I, it is you." You say, "I am the way." You say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. I am the first and the last." Lord, Apart from you, there is none else. On you we are cast. On you we depend. We come to you in humility. We dwell among a sinful generation and have seen unclean lips upon us. We come to you and ask again, cleanse us from head to toe, and especially our hearts and senses, all our thinking. May everything be directed in your ways, found orderly in your thoughts. Beloved Lord, we believe you. We believe that you have said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Beloved Savior, we committed this meeting to you. We have not only put forward your name, we mean you, you, our beloved Lord, our Redeemer, who let yourself be beaten and who is still in this generation so reviled, so pelted with filth, so disfigured as no other man. Lord, what is done to no philosopher, to no other man, that is done to you. As it was then, so it is now. It is like a new crucifixion, as if the Son of God is being exposed anew to shame and disgrace, and the unbelievers feast on this sight. Beloved Lord, I ask you from the depth of my heart, bring us to the point that the unbelieving world may know that you live and that you reveal yourself and are with your people. Take away the shame from us, that we may take it from you. O Lord, you know my heart. I long for it. I want to see you as the risen one, working in the midst of your people. Beloved Savior, make a way for yourself. Come with me. Come with us to your right. We do not only ask you, we mean it. Let us know your will and help us to do it. For the hour of glorifying the name of Jesus is here. Lord, in a time when you are so reviled, whether in film, whether in literature, however it may be, O beloved Lord, they will look on you, whom they have pierced, and will wail and cry out, beloved Savior, you have pardoned us. You have spoken to us. We may be your own. What a grace, what a privilege. In this generation, where there is so much deceit, pious deceit, Christian deceit, have we been allowed to recognize you and hear your word. Thank you for the sending of your servant and prophet, for the revelation of thy word and of thy will. Lord, I'm moved. I cannot help it. May you visit all nations and proclaim the glorious gospel. And if you find no one else, you know where I live and what I am. I am at your disposal. Bless my brothers here who long to be used by you. Lord God Almighty, do great things as you did in the beginning, and glorify your name and confirm your word. Oh my God, how I long to witness you being glorified. Here we are. Now we lay before you all who have lifted up their hands, who come to you today. Lord, where forgiveness is needed, there forgive, wash, accept, cleanse and sanctify. Where clarity is needed, give it. Whatever the individuals need, may you give it to them. Lord, give us grace that none may go as he came. Give us connection to you, O God, and may your blessings flow to us. Here I am, believing that your word has not returned void, not even today. Your word is too precious for that. Lord, often we are not aware that we are at your feet and truly hear your word as it came from your mouth. We consecrate to you all the newcomers. We consecrate ourselves who are already here, and we ask you, O Lord, be with us all. Look upon your people in grace. Bless, Lord, your inheritance. Lead us on the right path, that the enemy may not destroy us. Let no one be put to shame. Let us not look to one another, but on you, so that we may not be put to shame. To you, the living God, be praise and thanks, glory and honor. I still want to thank you, faithful Lord, that you gave me the privilege at that time to hear Brother Branham personally and to become an eye and ear witness. Here I am, testifying in your name, O Lord. Blessed and praised be thy holy name. Amen.